prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercies. Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Father, to be faithful. Give us wisdom as we open your word this morning. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Saying, give us a vision this morning. Just thought of the prayer that Jesus reminded us to pray to the Father, that we'd send out laborers. That he would send laborers into his harvest. We want to keep that ever in our mind and in our prayers. Let's begin opening this morning in Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm going to read on here, but I want to just kind of look through some of this as we go. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Is what I would see there, is if we have anything in common, our common desire should be to be followers of Christ. I wrote down a few things, I didn't bring it with me this morning, about who Christ was. Who was the man Christ? Who was Jesus? What was he about? We all have this image because we've seen pictures of him, but who was Jesus? Guess one of the things that come to my mind is in the Old Testament in Isaiah. It says that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I thought also this morning, just thinking about the over the life of Jesus, the Bible never shows him running anywhere. He walked everywhere he went. But he was always on time. It didn't show him running. He just went, and he was always on time. Even whenever they thought he should have been there a day or two ahead or three or four ahead, when he got there, he was on time. It's just a blessing to think that sometimes we think we just have to run everywhere. He was busy, but he never ran. That it shows. Another thing it doesn't, the only time it shows that he ever rejoiced was in Luke, whenever his disciples returned. It's the only time it ever said anything about him rejoicing. That doesn't mean he never did, other than this, but it's the only time the Bible mentioned it. It was about his Father's business. Whenever we read about the Spirit in the Bible, whenever it talks about the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes we have a tendency to separate the Holy Spirit from Jesus. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us like Him. Holiness and Jesus cannot be separated. There's a lot of people that get the holiness down, but it's a far cry from who Jesus was. If our holiness is just our personally avoiding sin, or us creating our image of holiness, we've missed it. God's Spirit will work itself in us to make us like Him. That's the purpose. That's the goal of being a Christian, is to be a disciple, to be like-minded with Jesus in the way we act and to conduct ourselves. The idea behind what would Jesus do that a few years ago, even the evangelicals got all excited about it. I think they got more excited about it because they could sell bracelets and book covers and all kinds of stuff like that than to actually put it into practice. It is a good thing for us to think about before we make decisions and do things. How would Jesus do this? Do you ever think about that in your daily life? If confronted with the same problems that you have, what would Jesus do in your situation? What would Jesus do if He was here and in your shoes? What would Jesus do with your life? if he suddenly had complete control of it. There's sometimes we get ourselves in positions in our life that we wouldn't know what Jesus would do in this situation. And a lot of times the reason we don't know what he would do in that situation is because we've allowed ourselves to get in a situation that he would have never gotten in the first place. A lot of a lot of times we can't even ask ourselves what would Jesus do, because he wouldn't even be in the place that we're wondering about. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I want you to think about that. Do you even care what Jesus would do with your life? Do you? Do you? Do you care what Jesus would do if he had your life to live? You know, he said after he departed that when the Holy Spirit came, we'd do greater works than even he did while he was here. I think the reason why we would do greater works, when we think about that, well, he raised people from the dead. He opened blind eyes. He made people to hear. What greater thing could you do than that? I mean, raising someone from the dead, who's going to top that? I think he meant, I'm just one man. And when the Holy Spirit comes, and he begins to dwell in you, there'll be 100 of me going out doing all these things. Or there'll be 20 of me, or however many there is, going out doing those things. And we saw that in the apostles, the lives of the apostles. How beginning with just so few turned the world completely upside down. Because I believe first and foremost, the desire of their heart was to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? I think that's what we need to ask ourselves continually. If your mind's somewhere else this morning, or you think that's a silly question, you're not wanting to be like Jesus. And I wonder why you would even want to be called a Christian. Do you want to be like Jesus? I think that's the key. if you're serious about that, you better find out which Jesus you want to be like. Do you want to create your own Jesus like the world has done? Just take all the good parts where he just gives me whatever I want. His purpose and function is to make me happy. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not who he is. Find out who he is. Study. Read the Bible. Asking yourself, what would Jesus have me do in this situation? And most of the time it is crystal clear what he wants you to do. A lot of the time, whenever you get serious about that, there'll be things come to your mind and you'll start making defenses or you'll start sheltering some little thing in your life that you don't want to give up. You'll start protecting that one little area that you don't want him to have. You can't know the will of God for your life until all is on the altar. Thought this morning of disciples offering ourselves to be something for the Lord. And I thought about an arrow. An arrow for God. And I thought about that arrow for just a little bit. You know, there's a lot of times we have ideas, and we have thoughts about what we want to do, or where we would like to go to serve God, or what we would like to be doing in this certain place. And we have the luxury sometimes to fulfill our own desires of what we would want to happen in our own life. We can make enough money to go and do this or go do that anywhere in the world. We have the privilege of being able to get in and out of a lot of different places, and we can just go down somewhere or go somewhere and just be whatever I wanted or thought I needed to be for Christ. But an arrow doesn't guide itself. An arrow is sent where it's shot at. So if you wanted to present yourself as an arrow, you better not do it unless you're willing to be aimed by whoever's aiming you. If an arrow went where it wanted to go all by itself, it would be pretty useless to the person who's pulling the bow. In fact, it would never be used except for a joke. you had an arrow and you pulled back and you were aiming at something, and that arrow didn't want to go that way, he wanted to go the other way, you wouldn't use that arrow other than just to shoot it, just to get it out of your sight and let it go where it wanted to. When you present yourself as an arrow, I think the safest way to do that is through the church. When you present yourself as an arrow, you let someone else direct your path, guide you or shoot you where the need is. It's a blessing that there's brethren that are willing to send some arrows, that are willing to offer themselves as arrows first. That there could be a place found that we could be sent from. The apostles in the Bible were sent from, sent by the Lord. I think that's one thing that the church needs to be looking for. You know, there's a lot of churches that wouldn't know an arrow if it landed right in the middle of them. They wouldn't know what to do with it. They'd want it regulated so much that they regulated or have to go through all the processes. To where by the time they're through, they're not much of an arrow anyway. That's why we like people to come and be with us for a while. We like to say that we like someone to be here long enough until we can't live without them before we send them anywhere. A lot of people that don't know anything about church life. They've been out on their own. They've been independent. They've learned how to stand against the world. They know that there's a fight out there. But they've never truly learned to be a brotherhood either. And I think until a person or a family learns how to work within a brotherhood, they have no business out trying to start a brotherhood somewhere. They don't know. Someone that's just been on their own or never really fit in with anyone else. Until they learn to assimilate with other people, godly people who have a desire to follow Jesus. People who ask that question, what would Jesus do, before they make decisions in their lives? And learn how to live and give and take with others. They're not going to help anybody out there on their own. They may force a few people into doing things just exactly the way they do them before they can accept them. But that's not a brotherhood. Thought last night I was talking with someone. You know, I got to thinking, you know, we sometimes think, well, we've talked about it quite a bit, about the weaker or the stronger bearing with the infirmities of the weak. And I just thought last night, I mentioned this to the brother I was talking with, you know, whenever someone says, the stronger says to the weak, you're just dragging me down. I just can't tolerate. I'm afraid of your influence. And so I'm going to have to separate myself because you're not where I am. And we've all got this image, this false image of a church where everyone is just super spiritual. Everyone is just at the same level. And we might begin to think, well, wait a minute. They're not where I'm at. I'm going to have to move on. I'm going to have to find some place that's more spiritual. Think about it. If the place that you're going to is that much more spiritual than you are, they might think that same thing about you. And you might find yourself rejected by them because you haven't moved as fast as they have. We've got a real tendency to forget where we came from, how long some of us took to get where we're at. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. We can learn a lot, even from each other. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Meek and lowly. Obedient and humble. Christ didn't go around comparing himself. He did what he was supposed to do. is faithful in it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What would Jesus do with your life? What would Jesus do with your life? That ought to be the heart of each and every one of us. What would Jesus do with my life? Where would he be at now? What would he be doing now? Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He offered himself as a living sacrifice. His desire was to do the will of God. His food was the desire to do the will of God. His life was about doing the will of God. We so often get our own lives mixed up. We get our own agendas. We get our own plans. And our own things so mixed up and so jumbled up. And that's why there's so many warnings in the Bible about these things. Because they cloud our minds. Because they jumble up our minds. When Jesus warned us about being wealthy or having many things, it wasn't because there was anything wrong in themselves in having those things or even having money. There was nothing wrong, and there is nothing wrong in having it. To think that we've all got to be paupers, the Bible doesn't teach that. That it's a sin to have money. Teaches it's a sin to see if someone has a need and you don't help them. But it does teach to beware of those things because they'll cloud your minds. Because there's danger being ensnared by those things. So that your mind is not focused and clear on seeking the will of God. They become an obstacle and a hindrance. The devil uses them to keep you so occupied that the will of God becomes cloudy in your mind. Paul talked about there's nothing. I don't know, how does he put it? I can do anything, or I can do all things. Nothing is unlawful for me to do. Paraphrasing greatly there, but I think I'm catching the idea. There's nothing that's unlawful for me. But there's some things that are dangerous that would keep me from being all that God wants me to be. And that's what makes them wrong. We have to be careful. Sometimes when we hear about the poor people, or hear about things, or see people, or compare some situations, we feel guilty. And I don't think that's a healthy attitude towards a lot of this either. Because someone has something that I don't, and I become guilty. I mean, if there's someone that we can help, let's do what we can to help them. Jesus talked about the poor. He didn't have anything, but he never considered himself poor. And he didn't strive to be poor just because someone else was. He had the spirit of being poor. It just didn't matter to him. Money? Whose picture's on it? Give it back to them. It's no big deal. Sometimes we become so concerned about saving a penny here, saving a penny there. The focus is still on the money. It's just stupid money. We don't need to waste it, but it's just money. In fact, all it is a piece of paper. Coming back from Oklahoma last night, they gave me a receipt when I went through the toll booth, had to pay the toll booth, and I poked the one piece of paper in my pocket, and I took the other piece of paper and wadded it up because it looked like trash. Well, I got off of the toll road, and they said, "Where's your receipt? And we'll give you some of this other trash back." Well, I had it wadded up over there and in the seat, and I unwadded it. "Oh, here it is." And he said, "Well, you just wadded up money there." It's in reality, What's the difference between those two pieces of paper? There's none. Because one of them's got a stamp of George Washington on it? Way we're here, there's really not much value even behind any of that anymore. The world's finally maybe figuring it out. Money is nothing. It's just a little instrument we use. It's just something that we can give, share with. Our focus is on doing what Jesus would do. Focus needs to be, what would he do? I don't think he'd spend all his time just seeing how much he could make or seeing. I think his focus would be still on seeking the will of God. What would Jesus do with my life? You know, there's times that it might just be just working for a while. Just going and doing a good day's work. I think we ought to be busy. I think we ought to be doing things. And I think work is a part of our lives. We live in a place where we have opportunities to do it. And I think we ought to be doing it. Because there's places, and always will be, that need some help. Bible says that we ought to, that the church, the early church, had all things. Everyone, there was no need among them. Everyone counted. How's the quote? All things in common. What's mine is yours and yours is mine. I think that's the attitude they had. They didn't try to hoard things up for themselves. Nothing of the things that he possessed was his own. And it's not. It's all God's. Everything that we have is all God's. Not just 10% of it. That's for the worldly churches. That's to pay the greedy pastors. That's to build huge monuments, that 10%. Forget that. It's all God's. That's how you want to build a business. Or a big, strong, powerful hierarchy, or theocracy, or whatever. That's how you build a business. Gather a bunch of people and teach all of them to give you 10% of it. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And being found in fashion of Christ, we humble ourselves and become obedient unto death. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even give a consideration to what Jesus would do with your life? Don't even call yourself a disciple if that isn't the desire of your heart. You're mocking Christ. You're mocking Christ. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's one of our goals, is just to have a place that we can meet together and encourage one another, get some counsel once in a while when we need it, some place that's able to send us from with confidence that we can send someone out and know that they're carrying out our desires. And our goals. And someone that's sent out knows that there's a church behind them. That's 100% behind them. And that they've been sent. God's approval. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I think one thing we have to be careful of is, as brethren, you know, I'll just give you an example. How many of you got knocked off a donkey and saw a light and was blind for 3 days to know that you were saved? Isn't that something like what happened to Paul? How did he know he was going to start following Christ? I use that term saved as becoming a disciple and being delivered from what he was delivered from. But how many of you began following Christ when you fell flat on your back and there was a light shone from heaven brighter than the sun and asked you what you were doing and why you were persecuting Jesus? I don't know of any of you. But what if Paul was here this morning and he said, well, I don't know if you've ever really decided to follow Jesus because you didn't see a light like I did? You didn't hear that voice like I did? Boy, I wonder about you. We began to wonder among ourselves, well, wait a minute. Maybe I should be seeing a light. We can't impose what happened to us or the price we have to pay on someone else. It won't work. We're all to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You ask yourself, do I want to be like Jesus? Is it my desire? Really? Do I want to do that? Or am I just pretty happy with my life? Or am I not even happy at all? Sure, no, I don't want that. Because he might ask me to do something I don't want to do. And I'm not going to do it. If you're not willing to lay yourself as an arrow and say, Lord, shoot me right into that rock if you want to. Lord, I'll sit right here in this quiver if you want me to. Lord, send me right out into the middle of the enemy if you want me to. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. That's what it means to be a disciple. A follower of Jesus. I'll put into practice the guidelines that you lay down, what it means to be a disciple. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. And all that I have, it's yours. You don't want to be sent except where you want to go. Don't offer yourself an arrow as an arrow. If you don't want to let Christ control you, don't offer yourself as a Christian. If you don't want to obey, put into practice the teachings that Christ taught. Don't mock him. May the Lord add his blessings. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon these words. Father, thank you for what you give us. Help us be faithful to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.